People don't know what a relationship is. That's the problem. People don't know what a relationship is. I'm adamantly against dating for any age, as an adult, as a child, as a teenager. As people don't know what a relationship is, dating destroys your capacity for a healthy marriage. It does. Dating will destroy your capacity for a healthy marriage. Why? Because all of a sudden people become disposable. And what you're reinforcing is self. It's basically selfish. It's a selfish endeavor, dating. I want a guy, I want a girl that'll please me. Right? Well, you go into this trained me mode in relationships. And then you enter with that into a marriage. Okay, what you've done is you've trained yourself to destroy your marriage. It's not scriptural. The Bible specifically clearly addresses it in two places, Ruth 3:10 and 1 Corinthians 7:24. In Ruth was a young woman. She was in her late teens, and she had a very unique call. But she had done it, this whole dating thing, God's way. She decided she was going to do it God's way. God led her into something that was very unusual, very different from than what is for most people. But it also led into one of the healthiest marriages in history. That whole book of Ruth is about how a young woman met her husband. That's it. That's the whole story, how this young woman met her husband. But Ruth was in her teens. Her husband, Boaz, was 80 years old. Not what you would normally consider to be normal. But it was one of the greatest marriages in history. And the whole thing about it was that Ruth did it God's way. And in Ruth 3:10, Boaz commends her, and Boaz is a type of God, type of the Father there. And he commends her for not having dated younger men. So she was commended for that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Ruth did it right. And when Ruth did it right, God honored. But Ruth really was, I mean, if you think about the book, that was the best marriage in history. Ruth's marriage. Although by sight it made no sense whatsoever. But what she did was she allowed God to bring her into it. And then she chose God's choices. Dating says, I'm going to choose my choices according to my flesh, according to my old sin nature and what pleases my old sin nature. If you don't like, when you stop liking the person, you throw them away and you go get another. And then you throw them away and you go get another. And you throw them away and you go get another. So, okay, now you have destroyed capacity for a healthy marriage. And now you've destroyed your mindset to stay in a marriage when something's not going right. It's like one of my friends, Pastor Love, he's a youth pastor. I like the way he puts it. He said, it's practice for divorce. And it is. It's practice for divorce. 75% of Christian marriages end up in divorce. Same as the world's statistics. Why? Because the Christians are doing it the world's way. There is no difference in the practices of today's Christianity than that of the world. Necking. Another thing, necking. People, you know, teenagers, they get physical. Okay, I won't cross the line of sex, but I'll get a little bit physical. I'll get a little too close. I'll touch places where really I shouldn't be touched or I shouldn't touch. But I'll let it go because it was just a graze. But that whole biochemical response is triggered very powerfully. Kissing. People think kissing is a casual thing, but it's not. Kissing is actually the physiological effect. The spiritual and the physiological can't entirely be separated. Kissing is submission of one's soul to that other person. And so people get into these things and they start making out, and what they don't realize is that they have submitted their soul to that other person, and that person now has power and authority that they have given them over their soul. That's why these relationships are so painful and difficult. That's the amazing thing. They always end up painful and difficult. Almost always. It's like, I'm going to go out today, I'm going to smash my hand with a hammer. But that's essentially what it's saying. That's what I'm going to do. Adamantly against dating. People are trying to fulfill an area of their life, like you said, Erica, that only God can fulfill, but they want to fulfill it in the energy and efforts of their own sin nature, because they have a lust pattern that they are pursuing. First Corinthians 7:24 says, if you don't have a spouse, don't look for one. Don't date. Don't do the things that would take... Well, how am I going to get married then? And this is a very common question. If you make up your mind, I did. I know a lot of people who have. Before I was married, I didn't date. Well, how's God going to bring you a spouse? My wife was asked that question all the time. She made up her mind. She wasn't going to date. And we were fairly young. You know, we got married, we were in our early 20s. She made up her mind. She got saved, she made up her mind, I'm not going to date. And her friends who are Christians would ridicule, well, how's God going to give you a husband if you don't date? And she said, well, God created the universe, maybe you could find me a husband. You know, of all her friends, she was the first one married. Of all the dating friends, she was the first one married. You know why? Because she did it with clarity. She did it God's way. Do everything God's way, and you'll always receive God's portion. Really. You do everything God's way, and you will always receive God's portion. That's good practice for life. Ruth did it God's way. She got God's husband, although that's not what she would have picked by sight. But the amazing thing is, she followed after what she knew was right, and knowing that she was following him as someone she would ultimately marry, though scholars say she was about 17 and he was about 80. Because she knew that that was right before God, even though in the world's estimation it made not one ounce of sense. And what did God do? Not only did they have the greatest marriage on record, it also led... Their child was David, King David's grandfather. David was the line of Christ. Do you realize with this, when you do things God's way, in a sort of practical way, in one sense of the, you become the lineage of Christ. And although you can't become the physical lineage of Christ, Christ incarnate, you are the lineage that brings Christ to the world when you do things God's way. Do things the world's way, and you are just more of the same. More death. More death. I'm all for friendships. I'm all for having fun. That's godly. But also all for purity. I am not all for putting oneself, no matter what kind of a title a person wants to put on it or how they want to sugarcoat it, I'm not for putting yourself in a situation where it is pure temptation. That's what dating is. I mean, think about it. What's the purpose of dating? You're either going to get married or you're going to have sex. And you may tell yourself that you're not going to have sex, but I've got news for you. You cannot beat your own biology. You can't overcome your own biology. I know folks who were in Bible college started this dating crap, and the gal ended up pregnant. Why? Because they were not able, and these were in Bible college, they were not able to overcome their own biology. They did. They had no intention. But then, you know, you get together and you get alone in this romantic atmosphere, and all the libido kicks in and the hormones kick in and the atmosphere kicks in, and don't you dare think that the atmosphere is not involved in this one. Number one strategy of destroying people's ability to have godly relationships. This is why, like, look at what the world has done with dating. Okay, nowadays, unless you're unusual, you will go out once or twice, and then you sleep with the person, and you go have sex. Right? Isn't that about what it's like out there? Once, you know, a few times, and then you go have sex. If that many times anymore. Well, why am I going to engage in that kind of activity? And how is it that I'm going to manage to be supernaturally pure when I'm putting myself into a supernatural temptation? And natural. This is the problem. You get the supernatural working with the biological in tandem against a person. Don't believe in dating at all. Not a lick. Not a lick. I don't think it's healthy. I think it's extremely unhealthy. I don't think that there is a good relationship that has ever come out of it, unless God redeemed it. Never. Not once. Why do you think that there's such a huge teen pregnancy rate? They're not thinking necessarily, I'm going to go get pregnant. They're just thinking, I'm going to go have fun. And then things stir up. And don't think because you're Christians that that is any different for you than it is for anybody in the world. It's not. There is nothing about dating that actually prepares you for marriage. Dating actually damages you for marriage. Because then you come in with a lot of baggage, a lot of hurt, and a lot of concepts, and you bring it into a marital relationship. Like you were talking about your friend. That didn't make you feel all so good. What's going to make sure the next guy is not different? Learn to respect God, and then you'll know how to respect yourself. Honestly. God made you. And He made you sweet and precious and beautiful. You belong to Him. Respect God in your own life. And then you will know what it is to respect yourself. Respect the heart that God has towards you. How precious and unbelievably valuable you are to Him. And then you'll know how to respect yourself. Mistakes happen because I made a mistake. Some mistakes are worse than others. But it's not that God planned for me to have a mistake. He allowed it because I have a free volition. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you, including things like relationships. There is no sweeter relationship than when God is in it. If God is not in a relationship, no matter what it is, it will ultimately fail you. And will ultimately be hollow. Because then you have one person's sin nature and another person's sin nature trying to work things out. One person's lust pattern and another person's lust pattern trying to be godly? I don't think so. Personally, I'm very strongly against dating. It's a scriptural thing. And it's not just because the Bible says so, although certainly that's enough. But because the reality of it, 80% in the 1980s, there were two psychologists named Masters and Johnson. That was a married couple, and they did a big study on sex. They were experts in the top, in the psychology of sex. 80% of marital incompatibility was directly attributable to premarital physical activity. 80%. That's huge. That's huge. There's no good thing in it. The thing is, when a person gets to know God, then you have real fulfillment. And then, when God brings a relationship to you, it's a real relationship. Just like Ruth had a real relationship. Not what she necessarily would have picked if she had considered with natural thinking. But it was real. And it was amazing. The best one in the Bible. The best one on record in history. Trust God for that in your life. Trust God for that in your life. Like if He says, like, you know, Paul wrote this, if God did not spare His own Son for you, how much more will He give you everything? If He wouldn't even spare His Son. His intention is not to make you miserable or lonely or alone. And His protection is His provision. You see, what happens to people, they go after this in the world's way, and you know what they end up? They end up miserable and lonely and alone in a relationship. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to give a relationship, whenever it happens to come, that fulfills. And it's His heart towards you in that other person. It's a beautiful thing. But you can't find it by shopping around. You find it by letting God bring it to you. And you know what? He brings it. Of all the girlfriends my wife had, and she was a popular young woman when she was, you know, your age and a little bit older. She was popular. She had lots of friends. And they all said to her, "How are you going to get married?" She was the first one of the lot to get married. All the ones who dated, they didn't get married. You know why? How do you choose? How do you see inside of somebody's heart? You know? Like, can you see the contents of that person's heart, really? And do you know what they will be tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now? Who will they be? Yeah, I have no idea. I don't really know who anyone is, and I have absolutely no way of knowing anything in the future. Right? The only thing that we know of the future is the things that God tells us. That's it. My natural ability to think or reason or predict is useless. I mean, I don't know how long we have here. You know, you don't either. But God knows everything. He knows the person's heart. He knows your heart. He knows your needs. He knows your desires. He knows that person's heart, their needs, their desires, and He knows your future and He knows theirs. And then when you do things God's way, He gives you that which is perfect. Maybe not what you expected by sight, but perfect. No, I'm very strongly against dating. You know why? Because people rob themselves by it of God's choice for them. And God's choice for them is an amazing choice. But people will rob themselves of that because of impatience or mistrusting God or not knowing His heart towards them. Or sometimes they're just lonely. A lot of that loneliness, very often loneliness is actually what's called cosmic loneliness, where they don't have to be lonely. Trust God for that part of your life. Nobody's going to be able to give you better than He will anyway. So why settle for a distant second when you could have had the best? And why make that area of your life murky when it can be crystal clear? That's what dating does. It makes everything murky. Brings in a lot of confusion. Is he the one? Is she the one? What are they? What do they think? How are they? Like, where are they with, you know? Trust God for that. When God brings them, you know God brought them. And you know what? There won't be a problem. It'll be easy. And godliness and purity, cleanness, none of that will be a problem. And then when you're married, I'll be completely blunt. When you're married and God brought that person, then you'll have the maximum ability for a healthy sex life with that person. Because it was God's way. And your conscience and your psychology will be completely clean. And you won't have any problems in there at all. I think that people who date are absolutely insane. It's the world's way of doing it. But the world has no grasp of reality. I mean, the world doesn't even believe God exists. Do you know what a lack of grasp of reality is? The psychological term? Psychosis. The world is psychotic. No, really. That kind of dating is actually psychotic. It's psychotic. It's a form of psychotic behavior. Because it's not dealing with reality. You know what it deals with? Illusions. Dating is about illusions. It really is. You're hoping that this person will be this amazing being. Trouble is that amazing being is an illusion. And you're hoping that that person can satisfy something in you. And that's an illusion also. No person can satisfy. Only God is able to satisfy. They may tantalize, but they can't satisfy. There's no way for another person to satisfy. And then what you've done is you've trained yourself against being fulfilled by God. And that's what you enter into a marriage with. That's asking for trouble. Really, it is. It's asking for trouble. That's why so many marriages today end up in divorce. Because people are married in illusions rather than in the perfect will of God. The problem with illusions is they're not real. You know, they're bubbles. You know, like those bubbles you make with the soap bubble type thing? That's what an illusion is. And then when you actually touch it, it bursts. But it's really pretty until you've touched it. And you can be drawn to it, and then you touch it, and the bubble is gone. It's an illusion. Absolutely against dating. Absolutely. More people do themselves more harm. There is not one good thing that's ever come out of it. And the Bible specifically speaks against it. Why? Why? Why not have friends? Now, why does it have to be this one person all the time? Well, if you're not planning on having sex with them, and if you're not planning on marrying them, then what's the point? Right? Then what's the point? If you're planning on having sex with them, bad news. If you're planning on marrying them, that's the only situation where people know they're getting married, where dating is commendable. And then they're not dating, they're getting to know each other. And they're going to spend the next several years getting to know each other. The first few years of marriage is getting to know each other. That's the only time that dating is commendable, is when you have already agreed, yeah, we're getting married. And then you spend time with that person to get to know that person. But the way to agree that you're getting married is to be led by God. God has to reveal that to you. But you know what? There's a whole lot of really godly people who are married. He reveals that to people. You know, He can make it very clear. He'll make it very clear when the time is right. When you find the right person, He will make it very clear. It will be clear to you. He will speak to your heart and He will say, this is how it is. He'll make it very clear. See, one of the things is God is not calloused or inconsiderate in this. It's not that people think God doesn't care. Oh, He's very intimately involved, because marriage is the expression of His love between two people. That's what it's designed for. When you get this premarital stuff going on, dating, and I don't mean necessarily just sex, I mean this premarital relationships going on, what you do is you make the focus yourself, and God's love is no longer expressible. And that's where you end up with trials that are caused by marriages. Why not have the best? You know, why not have the best? A lot of young people don't like hearing this. Some young people, you know, will agree. But this is the way it is. If you want to destroy your relationships in the future, date now. That's about the size of it. Because what you have done is trained yourself into a mindset where it's about my pleasure, not about the love of God. So if you want to destroy your relationships in the future, date now. And I'm not saying that all people who date have horrible marriages, but I am saying they're not as good as they could have been. Just the way it is. If Christ is in it, then it's the best. This is where you get two people who are think they love. You know what? Trouble with in love, unfortunately, all too often is hormones in young people. These young people who say, I'm in love. Maybe, but likelihood is you're in hormones. You're in chemistry. That's why in love changes so quickly. You're in hormones. You're in trying to fulfill something apart from God's provision for you, and it's not going to be possible. You can't fulfill anything apart from... See, that's the weird thing. We are made by God with a specific design. And so we are trying to force that design into something that it is not. And it doesn't work, and then we wonder why. Because we weren't made that way. It's like try putting square wheels on a car and see how well it runs. But people do that with relationship and wonder why there's problems. Wonder why it's not fulfilling them. Because they've trained themselves that cars should have square wheels. Well, dating trains a person, well, it's about me and my satisfaction with the other person. And it's about my fulfillment rather than the will of God. And then you wonder why it doesn't work, or why it breaks up, or what happened, what went wrong. What went wrong was it wasn't right to begin with. It wasn't God. It's not how God does things. So I said, do things God's way and you'll wind up with God's provision. Simple as that. Do things God's way and you end up with God's provision. Do things, see, this is the thing. God will let me do things my own way, but then I end up with only as much of a provision as I can produce, which quite frankly I've learned by experience is really not a whole lot. No matter how good at it you may think you are, and I don't mean you specific, I mean the general you. You can't do things your own way. because you're not all-knowing, you don't have all wisdom, you can't see the future, you can't see people's hearts, it doesn't work. Again, another illusion. Do things your own way, another illusion. Absolutely against dating. Absolutely against dating. It is a terrible, 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 terribly destructive way to approach relationships. Even if the person has an unusual amount of self-control and doesn't get in bed with the person, it is still a self-oriented method of going about things that's void of God. Absolutely against it. It is, but the relationships that God brings are amazing. Now that doesn't mean that there'll never be a test or a trial, or that everything, you know, you'll always agree or always see things the same. No, that doesn't mean that at all, because you're still two individuals. But the relationship itself is amazing. But that only happens if you do it God's way. You do it right. Now, dating, these, you know, they'll bring the butterflies and ooh, it'll fulfill the lust pattern in the flesh for a little while. But then a little bit farther, like, I bet you when you were first starting to date that guy, you weren't really upset with him at all. You kind of thought, ooh, this is nice. But then it didn't end up so good. That's how it works out every time. No matter what the details are, that's how it works out every time. Starts, ooh, this is kind of nice, but then it doesn't end up so good. Do it God's way, it ends up awesome. Now, without challenge, because God will use that person to make me grow. But it's awesome. It's awesome. There's nothing like doing things God's way. There's no substitute for doing things God's way. And there's nothing as fulfilling as doing things, nothing as satisfying as doing things God's way. Like, people have that thing, you know, the hormones and the I want. Like, if women usually, I want to feel special, I want to feel like a woman, you know, I want somebody to cherish me and adore me, I want somebody to desire me. Men, on the other hand, I want somebody to care about, who cares about me, right? I want to feel like I'm needed. And they look to people to do that for them, and there's the deception, because a person can't do that for you. No person can satisfy me. I am made, my structure is designed in such a way that only God can satisfy. No person is capable, because they are human just like me. So no person is capable of satisfying. So in a relationship, I have to have God's person so that God's expression can be done through the person that He's chosen in the way that He's chosen it. Pastor Stevens said something very good. Pastor Stevens was an extremely wise man. He pastored for over 50 years. He'd seen everything. And he had a beautiful heart that just loved people. But he said something very good. God's way of doing relationships and man's way of doing relationships. God's way of doing relationships have this order: God, others, self. Man's way of doing people, not just men, right, but people's way of doing relationship, self, others, God, in that order. And when I get into a relationship where it's self, others, God, then that other person has no chance and I have no chance. But if I get into a relationship where it's God, others, self, then it's one person bringing Christ to the other person, and the other person bringing Christ to the one person. The love of God expressed from one to the other, and from the other to the one. And it's amazing. It's an amazing design. It really is. Dating is an illusion, and it's a bit of a trap. People like it because it tantalizes. But it doesn't actually fulfill. God doesn't tantalize, God fulfills. fulfillment is much better than tantalization. This tantalization goes away in a flash. That cute girl, cute guy thing goes away very quickly. And then when a person gets married, the cute girl, cute guy thing goes away so fast, and the butterflies go away so fast, and then what you have is only what's real. And if there was no God in it, then you have nothing at all. Like I said, that's why 75% of Christian marriages, this is a statistic I heard just recently. I don't know if it's accurate, but it's believable because it's the same as the world. 75% of marriages end up in divorce. I have read from sources that are reliable that 50% of Christian marriages end up in divorce. So let's say somewhere between 50 and 75% then. Well, that's a lot. That means when I'm going about it through self, through my own efforts and my own ability to think through it, odds are I'm going to blow it. Because I can't see the person's heart, I can't see the future. But God sees both. And on top of it, He loves me. So He's looking out for me. It's one of the things. God actually cares about what you do. God cares about who you get married. God cares about whether you're happy in your relationships with, you know, with your husband or your wife. God cares about that. His intention is to make it amazing. Not just okay, I'm married, but amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. That's why I'm against dating. Because it's actually destructive in those respects. A healthy psychology, by having protected it when you're young, will bring you with a healthy mindset when you finally get married. And a healthy mindset in marriage is the difference between a good marriage and a lousy one. Selfishness in a marriage is unbelievably destructive, and that's what dating trains. Dating trains a person to be selfish. Absolutely against it. Absolutely against it. And don't worry, God knows how to bring that person around when it's time. And He knows how to speak to people's hearts, and He knows how to make it clear. And when you find the right person, God will tell you. It may not be who you would have thought. I mean, Ruth married an 80-year-old man. But it will be perfect. So the thing is, I don't even know what I want in some respects, right? I may know what tantalizes me when I get tantalized. But I don't actually even know what I want. Because I don't really know my own heart. And I don't really know the future. So all I can do is wait for God's definition. And God's kind. God's kind. It's not His plan for most people to remain single. Nor is it His plan for people to go about on their own trying to figure out who they're going to be in a relationship with. God is kind. His plan is to give you somebody who will blow your socks off. Although it may not be in a tantalizing way. It may be like, oh my goodness, this person actually loves me. That blows your socks off. You know, all the times when all the times around lovely. You don't tell anybody, but you know what they are. We all have them. And that person sees them all. That's the thing. They're going to see them all. And then when it's God's person, they'll have the ability and the capacity to bring God to you in that and love you with the love of God in it. And that's when you go, oh my God, this person actually loves me. Because the tantalizing stuff, you say I do and the tantalization goes out the window. It's amazing. It's like I do is a spigot. I do, turn off the tantalization, reality comes in. Now it's either love or it isn't. It's either God or it isn't. Right? That's how it works. It's either real or it isn't. And all of a sudden, you're married to this person and you see them for who they are. Better or worse, you see them for who they are and you're married. I'd really rather wait for God's choice. Why? Because you have everything to gain or everything to lose. And even then, you know, you don't know. God's choice is what people will do. But if you do wait for God's choice, and if that marriage ends up in trouble, at least you will have the comfort in your own heart, the assurance of knowing I did it God's way. I didn't do this to myself. This was simply for my promotion in eternity. You know how people do things and it hurts them and then they regret it for the rest of their life? You know what I mean? Yeah. Interesting question there, Stephanie. I think that's a really important question. Especially for a teenager. For anybody. Because adults aren't exempt to this either. But really for anybody. Always do it God's way. Do it God's way and God will give you His provision, His choice. And that's awesome.